Earth and Sky.
So the exploration, of course, is a noble quest to understand. But then when we are pressured with economic imperatives and profit motives and getting things to market quickly and the excitement that comes with being able to control and manipulate, then we have questions to ask about whether we truly, in fact, know what it means to do some of the things we aim to do.
You are listening to Rosalind Byrne of the University of Virginia, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Byrne studies the ethical dimensions of nanotechnology, which involves manipulating matter on the smallest scales. She spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar about some of the broader implications of applying nanotech to agriculture and food production.
Dr. Byrne, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
What are some of your thoughts on using nanotechnology for agriculture?
I think that I am of two minds on this, in part because we have almost now 7 billion people to feed. And as long as there are that many people here, we do have a moral obligation to do our best to feed. It's a basic human right. And so to the extent that nanotechnology's introduction to agricultural systems can help us to do that better, I would be very excited to know more and learn more about the possibilities. My second mind, however, is having to do with the unknown territories into which we may be venturing and how quickly we're moving.
So give us an example of an unknown territory that you're talking about.
Well, let me go back to one of the early definitions I've heard of nanotechnology, which is the ability, and not just the definition, but the quest itself, was the ability to manipulate and control matter with precision. Now, of course, this is something that we humans have longed to do as long as we've had the capacity to explore our material world. But to do that at the molecular level and then down to the nanoscale means venturing into territory where we're working with novel properties and new kinds of behaviors in matter with which we have relatively little familiarity. So the exploration, of course, is a noble quest to understand. But then when we are pressured with economic imperatives and profit motives and getting things to market quickly and the excitement that comes with being able to control and manipulate, then we have questions to ask about whether we truly, in fact, know what it means to do some of the things we aim to do. For example, I learned about a product that can be sprayed onto plants that, in effect, accelerate the photosynthesis process. Now, that sounds like something that we should not hesitate to do because it means we'll get plants growing faster, bigger, more robust, and in the case of this particular product, plants that have some resistances. And I'm sure that most farmers would welcome such a new capacity. But what we don't understand is what happens to that product if and when it washes into the soil, goes downstream, is absorbed by other species, perhaps aggregates, and the particles change and rearrange themselves. We don't yet know because we haven't yet done the research to help us understand the larger implications of some of these immediate goals.
Well, right. Nanotechnology is new, and there are some unknowns about it. Do you think the public should have concerns about nanotechnology applied to agriculture?
Well, I think that we as consumers have to ask questions about what we need, what we buy. And we, in fact, drive some of the market imperatives in our purchases. I think we have a right as consumers to have access to knowledge and information. One problem is the classification of some of these materials such that they are not considered novel and therefore they fall outside of the purview of some of the current regulatory environments, which means that some things do not have to be labeled so that we don't know what questions to ask. So, for example, this is not about food. This is just simply about nanoproducts in the marketplace. I went to buy a pair of socks. And the store had a large display, and there were probably 30 or 40 different styles. And I noticed that all of them, except for one particular style of sock, had little tags on them that said antibacterial. Well, it occurred to me that in order for a sock to be antibacterial, it has to have certain kinds of properties that react with what happens in your foot. And so I asked the clerk, you know, what makes this sock antibacterial? And he said, well, I don't know. And so he rummaged around and finally found a tag on which it was written silver. And I realized that this is a nanoscale silver that's been embedded into the fibers of the sock itself. Now, is that a problem? Not sure. We're still studying nanosilver. We are learning more about its effect on the brain and the blood and the cells, etc. Is it a problem when it touches the skin? Maybe not, but the reason I raise this is because who would have known to ask what makes this sock have that effect? So I believe that what consumers should be concerned about is not so much the general science, because it's important that we continue with basic science research. But when these things come to market, consumers need to be able to make choices based on information that's provided. If the information is not there, then our consumptions are in the dark.
What's the most important thing you'd like the public to know about nanotechnology applied to agriculture?
When I think about the current crisis with the collapse of colonies of bees, the fact that the pollination of our food by these bees is crucial to the agricultural industry, it's crucial to the production of vegetables and fruits. If we don't have the bees, we don't have the foods that we eat. And yet, in fact, these colonies are collapsing and we don't understand why. Scientists all over the world are desperately trying to find the source of the problem, whether it's a virus, whether it's pesticides, is still yet to be definitively decided. But it represents to me an example of how what we do may have effects that we cannot in any way imagine when we're busy, so busy, creating new processes and introducing new kinds of procedures to agriculture. And so I would like to leave sort of the general question, what did we do? And the thought that, in fact, we know not what we do. And so it is very important that we take our time.
You've been listening to Rosalind Byrne, Associate Professor of Science, Technology, and Society at the University of Virginia School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and you're listening to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.